May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me if I start. Which of these are you using? Oh, that one. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. I've called this sermon that we are all crippled by something. There's actually a true story about an organist who was practicing one day in a great church in Europe. I might add that it wasn't our Robert here. However, as he was playing, a man came up to him and said, could he play his organ? And the organist eyed him up and down. He looked very scruffy, unkempt, dirty. And he thought to himself, no, I don't think I fancy this man playing on my organ. Just look at him. He's unshaven. His clothes are soiled. He looks like a down and out. So he said to the man, no, you can't. Go away. But this unkempt stranger asked again and again. And finally, the organist gave in and he let him play, thinking, well, he won't play for very long and then I can get on with my practice. The stranger sat down and he began to play. And his fingers danced over the keyboard in a way that the organist had never seen or heard in his whole life. And the stranger played on and on, and the organist was spellbound, just listening to him. When the stranger got up to leave, the organist couldn't contain himself anymore, and he said to him, who are you, sir? What is your name? And the down and out, as he walked away slowly, he turned away, and over his shoulder, he said, my name is Felix Mendelssohn. And that is a true story. So you may be thinking, well, what has this lovely little story got to do with our gospel reading this morning? Well, actually, everything. Because we are looking at lots of cripples, two kinds of cripples, certainly, in our gospel today. Two, you may be thinking, well, there's only one, the lady who was crippled for all those years. But no, as a society, we have numerous things that cripple us and blight our lives. That poor lady had been crippled for 18 years, and she was deformed and in pain with that debilitating disfigurement. She was crippled in her body, and of course the synagogue ruler, he was actually crippled, but in a different way. He was crippled in his legalism. He was bound by a spirit of legalism. Had to do exactly what was right. Wouldn't deviate. He was clearly more intent on obeying the letter of the law than in doing what the law really wanted him to do, which was to praise God. And in doing so, he missed the blessings that were on offer by Jesus. He believed slavishly that you had to keep the law of the Sabbath. Thou shalt do no work on the Sabbath day. And he thought by doing that he was pleasing God. But you know, we all please God in different ways, and we've all got different Sabbaths. Just because you can't keep a Sunday doesn't mean to say you don't keep a holy time with God. Your Sabbath might even just be a morning with God. We all have different slots and times. I also read about a little church in the United States who had invited a very well-known preacher to come and give their sermon on the Sunday morning. However, when this leader preacher turned up, he was very casually dressed. And horror of horrors, he had no belt and braces on his trousers, would you believe? Well, the invitation to preach was withdrawn because the elders felt that without the braces, if the belt slipped, his trousers would fall down. And that would be a terrible scandal on a Sunday in church. And so they wouldn't let him preach. So by being legalistic, they missed a message that I'm sure God would wanted them to hear. They were legalistic, rather like our gospel in our gospel today, the synagogue leader. But you know, before we start to criticize these folk, we do need to look at ourselves and to think about things that cripple us. There are, of course, very real things, medical conditions, which do cripple us in a variety of ways. Physical pain and the frustrating realization that you are trapped in a body which no longer has the ability of its youth. That is hard to come to terms with. We're also crippled by loss of sight, loss of our hearing, memory lapses and loss. Many people are crippled by past experiences, by bereavement, broken relationships, by trauma, by fear. I know people who are really crippled by depression and loneliness, by poverty and doubt. We are also crippled by unconfessed sins and unforgiven sins. And the list is endless. And I'm sure each of us could add something to that list that's personal to us. Our emotions are enormously crippling. The organist in our story was crippled by prejudice, as was the synagogue ruler and the leaders of the United States Church. There are times in our lives when we are all bent double by some tragedy or by emotion or situation. But you know, the jewel in this story is that one received healing and the other condemnation. The woman looked to Jesus, trusted in his power to straighten her life. And the ruler just nitpicked away and picked holes in Jesus' ministry. And that did not help. I would love to think this morning that you would all leave here healed of your personal crippling situation, emotional pain. But the reality is that you probably will take it with you, as I will probably take some of mine. But healing comes to us in many different ways. Sometimes our crippling situation is made possible to bear just by fixing our eyes on Jesus and trusting in his love and forgiveness. And through that, we are given the strength to go on and do that extra mile, able to see the sunshine through the rain, and to really believe that every cloud actually does have a silver lining, even though we can't see it. On many, many occasions, and I'm sure you can identify with this, I felt really tired and lethargic, and I wonder how I'm going to find the energy to get through the day. Often this happens on my quiet days when I look at the list and I've got maybe 25 people coming and I say to the Lord, "Lord, I just haven't got the energy to do this." And I feel he says to me, "Well, you put the kettle on, June, and we'll talk about this." And somehow I get through it and I'm fine. But it's when people have gone, then the energy goes and it's like a balloon that's pierced. I go, "Phew," and the energy's gone. But he supplies it for our needs, and he's always there if we just keep our eyes fixed on him. His grace, I think, is like the manna in the desert. In the desert, he only gave the Israelites bread for one day at a time. And I think we've got to take that on board ourselves, you know, particularly as we get older. We keep thinking we've got to do this, 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 and this. We can't. Just deal with today. Today, tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. But if we ask God for the grace to get us through this day, this moment, he won't let us down. So stop worrying about tomorrow, for in doing so, you'll spoil today. And this is a God-given day. Look at the weather out there. It's beautiful. This is a God-given day. So if you've got something crippling you, try and leave it at the door or take it into the Lady Chapel. Derek's in there. I'm sure he'll deal with all your crippleness this morning. And Faye, trust God, but don't take it away. Have a go at getting rid of it. So take your crippling situation to Jesus, and he will set you free by showing you how to cope, doing it in his strength, and doing it just one day at a time. Amen.